Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out there on the edge of the prairie. It's been cold and gray and just a little bit of snow falling, children reluctantly going back to school. A lot of things had to be canceled because of that blizzard a couple of weeks ago. The choral concert had to take place after New Year's Day up at the school. Attendance was rather slim. They've had this problem up at school with children texting on their cell phones. They've tried to make a rule against it, and it hasn't had much success so far. Children texting during the choir concert. Miss Falconer looked out there from behind her music stand, and she could see them texting back and forth, singers there in the midst of the Alleluia, Alleluia, texting back and forth. What's up, they're saying. See you later, L-8-R. Are you okay? Back and forth. These poor children in the midst of choir, they were doing this. They're worried about social skills, especially young men. Young women seem to have all of this. You can put them to work in the Chatterbox Cafe, and they know how to walk up to strangers and ask how you are, and you're having a good day so far today, and hand you a menu and say the special today is potato sausage, and it's really, really good. You ought to try some to make friendly contact with people whom you don't know. Dorothy has tried young men waiting on table in the Chatterbox, and they tend to just stick a menu in somebody's face, and they say, "Yeah, what do you want?" Why is this? We're not sure. We know that young men and young women are programmed, are wired differently. Young women are wired to make sustaining relationships with other people so as to form a secure family in a network of supportive relationships. And young men are wired to beat other men over the head with clubs and to take away the buffalo carcass from them so that they can bring it home and win the favor of the blue-eyed, big-breasted woman who is wired to mate with winners and not with losers. But nonetheless, you can't communicate with people through a cell phone texting. We just don't believe in that. Where you're from, especially difficult communications when you need to break up with somebody or tell somebody that you're disappointed in them, to do it by email is to miss out on a big, big educational experience. Miss Falconer was alarmed to see those cell phones out there, and she stopped the concert, and she clicked, tick, 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 with her pencil on the music stand, and she said, "I want you to pass all of your cell phones down to the front." Well, the parents thought that meant them too. Hundreds of cell phones came forward. The children were in a panic because they'd been reading the lyrics of the Christmas song off their iPhones. They'd Googled them. But nonetheless, without the words in front of them, nonetheless, the words came to them. En fati omfru sedilun, sedilun, o fyrta himlens kongesun, alleluia, alleluia. It's a big, big week in Lake Wobegon. People making New Year's resolutions. Darlene down at the Chatterbox resolving that she is going to find a man this year, and she's going to start looking among older men in their 50s, maybe even 60s, men who've settled down and who'd be interested in travel. So she's redoing her hair. She's redoing her profile there for the AARP dating website. this urge to life, this urge to keep going forward is so strong at this time of year when it gets cold and this full moon comes out, the long night moon, this bright sky at night. People look up at it and they determine to go on. Virginia Anderson fell and she was in bad shape. They put her in the Good Shepherd home and she needed to have blood transfusions. She didn't eat for a while. They weren't sure what was wrong with her. She wasn't making much sense. And then she asked for a pint of butter brickle ice cream and they knew she was going to be okay. She had decided to go on living. Clarence and Arlene Bunsen spent New Year's Eve making big decisions about their future. They're going to sell Bunsen Motors and they're going to move to Arizona, live the good life, assuming they still know what that means. They made this decision. There was red wine involved here, but it seemed like a smart decision. So they were going to call up Clarence's brother Clint and tell him that it was now for sale. He could have it for $450,000, own the business, and they were going to move off to a double wide down near Tucson, Arizona, where they've been spending the winter every year. Well, they called up to Irene, and Irene said, "No, Clint is not here. He's gone off to Omaha to look after my Uncle Sheldon, who ran over himself backing out of his driveway." Her uncle is 88 years old, and he had lived in Minnesota, but he moved over to Nebraska because his children were alarmed about his driving because he has macular degeneration. And he needs his wife, Aunt Sylvie, to sit in the passenger seat and to cry out, "Left, left, right, right. Hold up, hold up, hold up. Stop, stop, stop." They drive a bright red car, and they have their flashers on, and so they've had fewer accidents than you might expect. They moved to Omaha because the roads are wider there, and there are fewer drivers, and Uncle Sheldon just cannot imagine not driving. Well, he backed over himself coming out of the driveway, and so Clint was sent off to deal with him out in Omaha. They picked him up at the airport, and they drove him to their house, and he peed in his pants. He was that scared. He wet his pants. It just one near disaster after another, and Sylvie's sitting there, "No, no, 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 stop, stop, left, 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 look out, look out." Just almost ran into a semi, almost ran into the back of a bus, almost were beheaded. He got back to their house. He fixed himself a stiff drink. He went into the refrigerator for the ice and he smelled urine. It was coming from the crisper drawer. He asked Sylvie about it. She burst into tears. Uncle Sheldon gets up 5-6 times at night. And for some reason, he just is half asleep. He opens the refrigerator door. He thinks it's the toilet. She's been pouring Lysol in the crisper drawer every day. She just doesn't dare confront him with it. Clint said, listen, you've got three choices here. Either you're going to hire yourself a driver, or you're going to promise us that you never will drive again and you can go live in a senior retirement home. Well, they thought about that. He stayed one more night, and the next morning as they were driving him to the airport, a terrifying ride, Uncle Sheldon said that he was going to hire a driver and it would be his neighbor Bob, who's 89. Because you wouldn't have to pay him cash, you could pay him in beer or wine. The urge to life, the urge to keep going, somehow persists even under these adverse conditions. Pastor Liz going around and visiting old people. She went to see Mavis Peterson, who had fallen, 75 years old, and she'd fallen and bruised her hip, and she had been practically an invalid. She told Pastor Liz she didn't think she'd put in a garden this next year because she wouldn't be around. Oh, Liz said, you're only 75. No, I don't mean that. I mean that I may move away, may sell my house. Well, where are you going to move to? Well, wherever he and I want to live. Well, Pastor Liz said, I've heard about this, your romance with Vern down in Iowa. He's a Republican, right? Yeah. But she said, you know, right and wrong doesn't matter so much to me now as it did when I was your age. What matters to me is conversation. And argument is my favorite form. And you know, as long as I smile when I think about him, that's good enough. I'm good to go. Well, Pastor Liz said, that's fine. That's fine for you. I wish you well. I wish I had your attitude. The special this week was potato sausage. Some people leave Lake Wobegon and they move off to distant places and they find good lives, and yet there's something missing, something they can't quite put their finger on it until they come back home on a winter afternoon and they smell snow and they smell potato sausage out there. That may be the answer. Worth looking around until you find it. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, all the children are above average.